Well, hello again. So glad to be with you again this week. Every time I think that we're through with the Recoding the Brain series, I say, okay, that was lesson 16. I'm sure that's probably the end. And I start doing the blueprint again, which is just go back into prayer and meditation of the word and listening. You know, listening is important, by the way, learning to listen for the voice of the Lord. Anyway, that's another lesson. And this time, this week, I was just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And that word therefore, you know, we've been spending a lot of time in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord and so forth. Well, therefore, in that verse, Romans 12, 1 means, Paul means, based on everything that I've already said to you in chapters 1 through 11, you know, now we're at Romans, therefore, based on all that, now he's going to talk about presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy to the Lord, and renewing the mind so that you know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, and you don't walk like the world anymore, okay? That word therefore kept just coming up in my spirit, and so I just started going back through, you know, so much. My goodness, you could do, weekly or monthly seminars on almost so much, so many, just, you know, verse by verse, there's just so much. Pastor Dave kept us in Romans 8, Pastor Dave Roberson, if you don't know who I mean by that. Romans chapter 8, if you put all that together, how many years did we spend, church? You know, every conference, you know, a year would go by, another conference, can't wait, you know, last year was all, you know, and the year before that, we were in Romans chapter 8. Thank God, it was great. Now we can't wait to see what new revelation, what God has given Pastor Dave when we come to the conference and we're all in anticipation. Pastor Dave would come up and he'd go, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And sure enough, there'd be more. We didn't get it yet. And a good pastor does not move on, or a good teacher either, does not really move on till he knows that we've got it. Well, the Holy Ghost is our teacher. And I think he's going to keep us in this Recoding the Brain until he thinks we've got it. So so anyway, I was meditating on the therefores, and I went back and started just, you know, what all Paul had said. My goodness, there's so much wonderful, wonderful things. But when I got into Romans chapter 8, here, I'm getting some notes this time. I am going to use some notes today unless he takes us in a different direction. But so far, he's not. Oh, by the way, the subtitle today is called Becoming Spiritually Minded. You know, did you know you can be a born-again Christian and be pretty carnally minded? Now, I know that for the most part in Romans chapter 8, when the word flesh is used, you know, especially the early verses, or spiritually, flesh or spirit, he's normally talking about an unsaved person or a saved person. That's true. But it's also true. And you know it's true and by personal experience, and you also know it by watching others. There's people that can be genuinely born again and be pretty carnally minded. Still, if that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't need Romans 12, verse 2. That would be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. Well, what if you don't? What if you don't renew the mind? Well, you're going to walk pretty much like the world. Okay, so there you go. Anyway, let's look at two verses here in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verses 5 and 6. Of course, I normally read out of the King. If I don't say otherwise, and I'm reading out of the King James. Now it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind. Now the key word we're looking at, see, we're still recoding the brain. And because the Lord said to me that believing involves the natural physical recoding of the neural pathways in the gray matter brain, in the physical brain. I had never heard it taught like that before, because up until then, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says the natural man cannot receive, you know, the things of God are foolishness unto him, and he can't even know them. He can't know them. Well, that's true, but once you get born again, see, you still have that natural gray matter brain. Let me tell you, okay, yes, sir, okay, I'm not going to ignore his leading as we go through this. All right, let's talk about the day, the first week Gary got born again at age 33. And I'm not going to go through that whole time. We don't have, you know, the whole, you know, how let, what it led up to that, but it's wonderful how the Lord sent a, like a guerrilla fighter named Michael Muccio over into the business world to come get me because I wasn't going to go to church. So Lord sent somebody to come get this lost sheep. And I wound up on the 4th of July, 1980, in the living room of our house. I got down on one knee. I said, Lord, I don't know if you'll take me back, because I knew the Lord as a little boy. I said, I don't really know if you'll take me back, but if you will, I'll make you this promise. If you'll take me back, I promise you'll never have to come looking for me again. Well, that night when I went to bed, there wasn't any real feelings, to be honest with you. There's a big warfare. The devil said, it's too late for you. And that's when, no, it's not. The Bible says, you know, thank God Michael had pounded into us what real faith is. Faith believes God's word, not your emotions, not how you feel about it. Faith believes God's word. Well, the word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I'm a whosoever, and I called on the name of the Lord, and I believe that he's been raised from the dead, and I call him my Lord, but I didn't feel anything is the point. Second day, I didn't feel anything, and the warfare went on all day, and again, I've taught on all that. That's not the point today. Now, the third day, and I don't even understand all of that or why or how, or I just know what happened. All of a sudden, I mean, there was a new sheriff in town. I knew I was saved that day. Proof positive that Gary got saved is I was driving across the bridge on the Arkansas River, which is probably one of the ugliest rivers on planet Earth. You know, it's more like a drainage ditch. It's brown and sandy and just a trickle of water most of the time. I'm driving across that bridge that third morning and I'm going, that's the most beautiful river I've ever seen. You got to be born again to believe that. So, the grass was greener, the sky was bluer. Oh, I was so in love with the King and so in love with Jesus, so grateful to be saved. But now let's talk about the mind, the natural mind, and my, because I've got a spiritual mind now. See, there's a new guy in town, new sheriff in town, called, you know, and he's got a new nature. He's got this righteous nature. Well, all of a sudden, let's talk about that first week. All of a sudden, I know that pornography is wrong. We didn't have pornography in those days like today. You know, we had girly magazines, I guess you'd call them, Playboy, Hustler, so forth. And your young ones are going, what? What? Anyway. Well, see, my natural brain, why did I have those? My natural brain liked it. It wanted to look at these girly magazines. Okay, I wasn't always this old. Okay, anyhow, we're in my 30s, okay. Well, there's something coming from one mind instructing my natural mind. That's got to go. And my natural mind, I don't know whether it resisted very much. It didn't seem to be honest with you. It just yielded. Okay, it's got to go. All right. And so that very day, sacked them up, out they went, gone. That first week, that just kept happening. My language, every time I'd start to say, like I normally would talk before, you know, with cuss words and whatever, you know, there was a check. I said, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. That, where's that coming from? That's coming from my spiritual man on the inside of me. See, God says when we get born again, he writes his law into our hearts and into our minds. It's Hebrews. You can read that. Jeremiah prophesied about it. I think it was Jeremiah. Might be Ezekiel. I'm not sure. Anyway, it was prophesied, and then it happened when you got born again. So all of it, this mind that I get born again with, it knows, you know, don't let corrupt language come out of your mouth. Well, my natural mind would bow the knee to that. Okay, it would stop. You know, I get ready to, you know, say something like I would say before, and oh, nope, not going to say that, not going to say it that way. Dirty jokes, I didn't want to say them, didn't want to hear them. All of a sudden, had no interest. Oh, and see, I almost, Sue and I, now, and you know, got to understand, we were just heathen. We weren't born again, you know, we're just, you know, we're in the real estate business, and we got a little construction business on the side, and we're doing pretty good, you know, living in the right house, in the right part of town, driving Cadillac cars, and dressed nice and custom made. I had a custom made suit and a, you know, really $400 Neiman Marcus tie, and you know, we're doing pretty good. But all of a sudden, you know, I mean, we worked hard. I mean, what I'm trying to say, we really did. We worked really hard, long days in that real estate business. And, but we played hard. And I soon never got drunk like I did, but boy, I'd get drunk to go drinking. I'm not kidding. I'm pretty snottered before we left that snottered. Yeah, okay. I was pretty snottered before we even left the house to go to the club. And anyhow. I'm going to have some angels. I know when I get to heaven in love, I'm going to just box my jaws. Do you know how hard we had to work to keep you alive during those days? But I don't know if angels slap our jaws or not. But anyway, it makes me grin. But the point is, there was knowledge born in me with my spiritual mind from the moment I got born again. And the first weeks, I mean, it's dictating, it's ruling over the gray matter, because that gray matter, it still thinks, you know, because it resists. How I know for sure, it resisted on one area a lot, and that was with I knew the kind of music that I had in the house. The Lord wasn't pleased with it. Now I'm not after you to get rid of your music. He was just after me to get rid of mine. Okay, I'm not, okay, and so I'm getting, man, all this stuff is going. I'm not going to mention names except one. You know, what the albums were or anything, but all this has to go. And back in those days, it was LPs. Man, I wish I'd have kept those to resell later on. They're worth quite a bit today. But anyhow, better to be free 40 years ago. And so anyhow, I'm loading all these up. And they were, you know, LP long play albums. Long before, this was in the days of the 8-track now. Our Cadillac car, brand new from the factory, you know, came with a 8-track player long before CDs or any of that. So some of you going, 8-track? Oh, before that was the 4-track. Anyhow. So anyhow, that had to go. I'm loading up all these records because the new man is ruling here. You know, Christ in me is going, that stuff's got to go. That's not going to help you. And I didn't have any trouble with any of it except one album, and it was my Bad Company album, the black one with the white labels. And my natural, my gray matter. No. And I actually hid that one away. Isn't that funny? I hid it in the closet, that album. But I think the Lord's not going to see me hide it. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, I hid that one away. You know what's funny is I never did listen to it again. And I went later on, within a year, we moved to another house. I keep rattling those papers. I got to quit doing that. Within a year, we moved to another house. And, you know, we're taking everything out of that closet. And I discovered that album. And I hadn't even listened to it since. And I was so embarrassed then. I said, oh, Lord, I'm so embarrassed that I kept this album. Please, Lord, forgive me. Of course, I think he chuckled over it a little bit. Because, again, I never even listened to it again. So that one had to go too. All right, now the point is not about the music. What's going on there? There's a mind in me now that is, when I got born again, the Bible calls it really the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 calls it, when you receive this new spirit, it's the spirit which is of God, not of the world, and it has the capacity to understand the things of God. And it really, if you want to know the truth of it, it comes with a new nature that is righteous. See, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that when we are born again, that new man is created. I mean, like that. The moment you get born again, that new man is created, now get this, in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, that's the spiritual mind. That's the spiritual mind. It's dictating. It's really, if you want to know the truth of it, it's Christ in you. When every time you obey that mind, I'm going to call it the conscience right now, because it's more than a conscience, but it includes a conscience. Every time you obey, you're obeying your King, because that's the mind of Christ. It's righteousness and holiness. It's what empowers you to walk above sin now. He wrote his law in there. You know, you just suddenly know stealing, you know, and I had good parents that told me stealing is wrong. But, you know, in some gypsy cultures, they teach their kids to steal. So they're really good at it. You know, it depends on how you're raised and a lot of that. But when you get born again, okay, now you got a new parent and you got a new father and he's going to tell you what's right and wrong. And he writes it right in your spiritual mind. So the point is, I had a spiritual mind in me that's directing, giving instruction to the natural gray matter brain. And the gray matter brain is being encoded, especially every time I obey it. See, when I obey it, there's an encoding there, you know, because it happened, you know. The natural brain, pretty much, I believe it when I see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, you know, that's sensory input. Well, when you obey something, that's an action. I saw the albums leave the house. The brain says, I saw the pornography leave the house. It's not good. But that left. Okay. Encode. Okay. Now, so those first few weeks, that's a pretty good example. See, I've never had an alcoholic drink since that day. About 2 days in, the first 2 days I was still drinking and reading my Bible, and I didn't get drunk in those 2 days, but I would. I'd sit, but boy, see that third day? I didn't want any. I just woke up. I didn't want it anymore, and I've never had a drink since. There's been a few times in the early days of temptation, but not much. I didn't ever do it. So anyhow, I'm trying to get to today, becoming spiritually minded. Because there are other things now the fundamentals, the basics, stealing is wrong, lying is wrong, fornication is wrong, adultery is wrong. Nobody had to teach you that. When you got born again, you just knew that. You just know it. But there's other things like, what is my calling? I didn't know that in those first days. I honestly thought I'd wind up to be a pastor because growing up in a denominational church, they said everything, you know, apostle and prophet and all of that had passed away, but they did believe in pastors. And so I pastor, Sunday school teacher, and missionary, that was about it, you know. So I figured I'd be one of those. And it wasn't until years later in prayer that the Holy Spirit just flat told me, he said, you're a teacher in the body of Christ. That's where your calling is. He said, that's where your anointing is, and that is where your provision is. Okay. Well, that's what I am. You know, people call me Pastor Gary all the time, and I don't rebuke them. It's okay. You can call me pastor if you want to. You can call me a Chevy. It doesn't make me a car. But I don't care if you call me pastor, but I'm not one. You hang around me very long, you'll find out my temperament is more that of a teacher. You know, I always use the example. You fall asleep in my classroom, I'm going to take my ruler and wrap your knuckles lightly and wake you up, you know. I don't know what I mean, Chris. All right, I want to get back to our lesson. I'm 20 minutes. I can't believe me sometimes. So at this rate, if I keep doing it like this, we'll be recoding the brain less than 526. No, we don't. 3 years down the road, no. All right, Romans 8:5. Let's look at Romans 8:5-6. For they that are after the flesh do mind, and it is mainly talking about unborn again people. But again, you know, and I know, you can genuinely be saved and still be pretty carnally minded. Otherwise, there's no need for Romans 12 verse 2, that we be no longer conformed to this world. Well, apparently you can be a Christian and be conformed to this world. Okay. Maybe I'll get through the book, two verses. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the born again person, the things of the Spirit. Now, I know that's capitalized, capital S, in both of those places, as though it's referring to the Holy Spirit, but it's really not. It's talking about that new man that came into you when you got born again, the very thing I was discussing a while ago, that wasn't the Holy Spirit really talking to my natural brain. That is the mind of Christ. That is the spiritual mind that I received when I got born again, where God wrote his law in my spiritual mind and in my heart, and now that's dictating to the gray matter. Okay, verse 6, Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, it's so true. So true. Now, what does it mean? Now, we're not talking today about the difference between the unsaved man and or person and the saved person. We're talking about a saved person who is still pretty carnally, or let me say naturally minded according to the things of this world. And if that's not possible, there's no need for Romans 12, verse 2. It is, we know it's possible. All right. First off, that word mind, where he says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind. That Greek word is, probably not pronouncing it right, but phroneo. It's a Strong's number 5426. And it's really interesting. What it really means is to exercise the mind. To exercise the mind. It's something you have to do on purpose. Did you notice your body doesn't exercise accidentally? Oh, I think I did. I think while I slept, I think I did 27 push-ups. No. You have to exercise your body on purpose, and you have to exercise your mind on purpose. Okay. So it means to exercise the mind, to have a sentiment or an opinion, to be mentally disposed in a certain direction, to interest oneself in. What are you interested in, see? And I love this one, to set the affection on. Set the affection on. What do you love? What's first place? I can't help but preview. Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's really hard to do if you don't love the king and the kingdom. Again, I see my little cross shine in there, and I hope you heard the story where one day just a couple of months ago, and I was just so thankful that day, so thankful to be saved, just remembering how my life was before, just so thankful that Jesus came after me and found me, and I got born again. I don't know how you put that, but anyway, I'm back in the fold, and what my life was before and what my life has been since. And oh, just a time of just that worship, you know, and I heard the Lord say, it surprised me. He said, you have returned to your first love. Go find that old cross you wore in the early days and put it back on. Wear it like you did then until I tell you otherwise. And I wasn't even sure it was still here. You start going through all the drawers and finally found it and put it back on. And this is how I wore it in the early days. Not in a matter of like bragging, but the idea was, I didn't care whether you hated it or loved it. I was hoping you'd comment on it, because that would open the door for me to talk to you about Jesus. Even if you hated it, good, let's talk. Have you heard about Jesus? In those days, I'd pick up hitchhikers, and I don't recommend that today. It was a different world in 1980, but I'd pick up hitchhikers on purpose, because then I had them trapped. And they had to listen to me talking to them about Jesus anyway. What are you interested in? What do you set your affection on? Now, we're talking about becoming spiritually minded. Now, listen, if the first meaning of the word, where he says, do those that are after the flesh do mind, and if the first meaning of that word is phroneo, is to exercise the mind, doesn't that sound like something you have to do on purpose? You know? It's really your choice. We're going to get to the passage over in Philippians, hopefully today, where he talks about, you know, think on these things. And it's like a command. I mean, you have to do it on purpose. I'm telling you, worry is almost automatic for humans. You don't really have to, you know, you'll catch yourself worrying without doing it on purpose. That's why Paul says over there in Philippians 4, he says, now you think on these things. I can't quote it perfectly. Whatever is true and lovely and honest and of a good report, and think on these things. And it's like a command, because you got to do it on purpose. If we don't recode this gray matter on purpose, to think in line with the spiritual mind that is receiving revelation knowledge from Christ, if we don't do something on purpose to recode that gray matter, it's going to continue to think most things are impossible. It's going to be limited pretty much to the physics of this natural world, what I call that, or what is called the Newtonian laws, you know, force equals mass times acceleration and so forth, the gravitational laws and all of that. Well, all of those are actual laws, but listen, the kingdom of God supersedes all of that. Kingdom of God, you change water into wine. What? Kingdom of God, people missing a leg or an arm, they get a new one while you watch, by the way. See, we're headed for that kind of revival, and that's going to take a recoding of the brain. That's going to have to, and when it says to exercise the mind, I'm convinced it means on purpose. Let me read some of this. I'm so sorry. Let me read some of this. To exercise the mind sounds like something a person would do on purpose. See, our spirit was the part of us that passed from death to life at the new birth, not our mind. Our mind must be renewed, that's Romans 12:2, to agree with the new nature. Notice also, it says to interest oneself in. Again, this sounds like something a person does on purpose. Something a person does on purpose. For example, a person might say, well, I'd like to learn how to use a computer. Well, that's a noble thing. That's a good thing. No problem, except the desire alone is not sufficient to renew the mind on how to do it. He must actively interest himself in learning how to use a computer. Now, he must renew his mind as to how a computer works. He may purchase a perfectly good computer, but to him it will be a worthless ornament to something on the desk if he does not renew his mind on how to use it. And then that definition, especially where it says, set the affection on. Yes, sir, cut him, I like going. See, I remember so well, he's bringing back to me those early days when I had to learn how to use a computer, and I had no idea then how essential it would be in the future for the ministry that he had called me to and the things we're doing now, you know. Everything involves computers, and I thank God I have an Angie, my daughter, who does all the real hard work of the ministry, balances the books and answers the emails and does all the lists and so much, edits these videos and posts them. thank God. But I have to do a lot, and I was doing a lot before I had it. You know, there was a time when just me and Sue, and we're the chief cook and bottle washer, as they say. We did everything. I remember having to learn that computer. I set my mind to it, and I thought, okay. And how I did it, I didn't go to school. I just started buying those, Computers for Dummies books, you know, Word for Dummies and all of those for Dummies, which I recommend those. They're really good. They'll get you there. But to me, I was just doing it perfectly. All right. You type this, you space that, you do this, and then you type, you hit enter, and it's supposed to do this, but I did something wrong. I didn't know it. So I hit enter, and the thing goes blank again. I was like, I'm gonna beat you, computer. Man, I wanted to take a ball peen hammer. I wanted to drag that thing out in the driveway and take a ball peen hammer to the, just bust it up in 100 pieces. Frustration. I'm recoding the brain, aren't I? I'm recoding the brain on how to use it. Just like you had to learn your multiplication tables and you had to learn your ABCs. Now I'm trying to learn how to use this computer. Well, we're going to learn how to walk in the spirit, where the natural gray matter does not resist all the time. It becomes that servant walking along. It's a helper, but it is not the Lord. It doesn't tell us what to do. We tell it what to do. Okay. So you've got to be interested in it. And boy, I'm interested. I'm not really interested in anything else except revival. I want to see that. What he called us to do, which is bring a supernatural revival to this world. And this one, he said, is going to be the greatest revival of all. We're going to see things that's even beyond the book of Acts, because he said, we're going to see things that no human has ever seen. Well, boy, Peter walked on the water. Peter walked down, you're just walking down the street and people get healed just from being within shadow link. I mean, humans have seen some stuff. Red Sea parting type of deal, you know? And we're going to see more than that. Bring it, Lord. Get us there, you know? Well, it's going to take some recoding, and that's why he's doing this, recoding of the brain. Now, one of the other aspects of that phronio to set the mind on is it says set the affection on. And when I read that, I remembered what Paul wrote. Now, Paul wrote this section in Romans 8, but he also wrote the letter to the Colossians. Turn over there for just a minute. I've got it already printed. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. He uses the same Greek word, phronio, which is Strong's 5426, the very same word that we've been talking about. And here he says, set your affection, phronio. It's the same Greek word. You could say mind. Set your, but that word phronio does carry the Greek language is more expressive than English. So that Greek word phronio is not only to exercise the mind, it's to set your affection on. Set your affection on things above. Could I say kingdom things, heavenly things, the will of your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who are both above, you know? He's also in your heart. In his glorified body, Jesus, thank you very much, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, above, okay? Set your affection, your love, on things above. Now notice, not on things on the earth. Well, what if I said set your mind on that? I have a little Kia car that I have great affection for. I like that car. I've had it 6 years now, and I still find excuses to go drive it. I like it. I like how it handles. I like how it feels. It's got a little oomph to it. And, you know, if I need to pass you, I can pass you. I like that car. You know, I don't think it's wrong that I like that car. I have affection towards my wife. I have affection towards my kids and my grandkids. I have affection for a lot of things. But see, none of them died for Gary. None of them redeemed me from hell. I have affection for all those things. But I have a first love. And that's him who bled for me. That's him who came looking for me. That's him who rescued me and saved me. See, set your affection on things above. And I've got to tell you, that's one of the great secrets to living a successful Christian life. Set your affection. The kingdom is great. I love learning about the kingdom. There's so much. We're still going to talk about the kingdom. But you got to love the king. Got to love the king. It's the king that came after me. It's the king that saved me. Okay. See, that Greek word translated, set your affection, is the exact same word, phronio, that we saw over in Romans 8, verse 5. And that term set, where it says set your affection on things above, means on purpose. This is something you have to do on purpose. There would be no reason to use such terminology if it were not possible for a Christian to set their affection, hang on a minute, I've got to turn the page, on the things on the earth. And I don't think it's wrong to have affection for my grandkids, are you kidding? But if it comes right down to it, if the king, I went through this years ago with the king. We already been through this. Because he said, you remember the guy in South Africa, Brahm? And he loved the message so much, and there, we saw some things there. The Lord moved by his spirit. A lot of people got filled with the Holy Ghost and some healings and things. And he was a big barrel-chested Afrikaner, you know, big bull of a man, you know. Getty, always call me Getty. Getty, you must come to South Africa. You must move here and bring your wife. And he was, you know, he wasn't rich, but he was pretty wealthy. He had some land, you know, and he was a builder. I will give you land. I will build you house. Bring your wife. You must come to South Africa and preach this gospel. And I started telling him, you know, I said, Brom, I can't move to South Africa. I got kids and I got grandkids. And he says, bring them all to South Africa. I will give them land. I will build them houses. You know, he was serious, and he could do it. And so, you know, talking to the Lord in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not doing that, you know. But later on that night, the Lord had started dealing with me. He says, now, I'm not saying to do that, but he's saying, what if it's my will? What if it's my will for you to leave the USA and become a missionary for me somewhere, and you have to kiss your kids goodbye and your grandkids and say, I'll see you in heaven. Would you be willing to do that? I'll be honest with you. There was a war in those early days. We're talking, gosh, 30, maybe over 30 years ago, probably. And I'm going, at first I went, I don't know. I had, you know, leave my kids and my grandkids and never see them again in this life. I don't know about that, you know. So there was a little warfare internally that went on there for a little while. But when it came right down to it, I still remember, I said, Lord, that would not be pleasant to me, at least not right now. I'm at the maturity, whatever I am now, at maturity, and this was 30 years ago, whatever maturity I am, Lord, that would sure not be pleasant. That's not what I want. But I said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, if that's really your will. Now, you're going to have to really let me know. I can't guess about this, but if that's your will, if it really is, I will do it. I'll do it. I love you more than I love my kids or my grandkids. You let me know if that's your will, and I'll do it. Well, it wasn't. He didn't. All he wanted was that surrender. Setting your affection on things above is so important, people. I can't emphasize it enough. Love. I keep doing this. I know. Love the King. Love the King. More than you love your own life, more than you love your family, more than you love your Kia, more than you love the USA or whatever country you're in, love the King. Love the King. There's only one that bled and died for you. There's only one really that we're here to serve. And it's the one. It's the King. All right. So when Paul says to the Colossians, set your affection, you can tell that means on purpose, right? You've got to set it. Lord, just like that example I just gave, I set my affection. I had to go through a little readjustment there. I had never even thought of that because it never was real. But here's a man that can do it, giving me a real opportunity, and he's, you know, invitation, and he can do it. He had the land. He's a builder. He could build a house for me. He had enough land. He could do it for, you know, all of our kids. And it was a real thing, and now I had to deal with it. And I set my affection on the King. I set my affection on the King. It wasn't my will. No, Jesus had a will of his own, and he wrestled to the point he was sweating blood in the garden. You know, if it's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. That's kind of what I was doing. Lord, I don't really know about moving there to Africa for the rest of my life or wherever you take me, but I will. See, Jesus had to do that. You know, not my will, but thine be done. If that's not setting, I don't know what is. Set your affection on things above. Now, I want to read a little more here from this. It's obvious. Apparently, there is going to be a Recoding the Brain 18, because I don't even know if we're going to make it through this. my job, I'm not going to ignore anything where he leads, there I follow. Okay. Now, in the same way, it's obvious that a person who wants to become spiritually minded is a person who sets the exercise of his mind, like I had to set the exercise of my mind to that computer. I have a desire to become literate when it comes to and functional on computers. All right. In order for that to happen, I'm going to have to exercise my mind in computer things until I become proficient at it. Okay. So if you're going to become spiritually minded in the same way, you're going to have to exercise your mind. And for this series, you're going to have to recode your brain. You're going to have to recode your brain. And that's what Jesus called believing. Okay. You're going to have to exercise the natural mind to line up with the things of the spiritual mind, or else you're just going to remain carnal in your thinking. What I mean by carnal is not sinful exactly, but natural. You're just going to remain limited to the physics of this world. See, you have to force yourself to think in line with the Word of God. I'll just tell you, you have to force it. So here, I told you it was coming here. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, that just means in conclusion, again, based on everything that he said in the first, up till that point. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, now notice how this is worded, think on these things. Does that sound like a suggestion to you? Think on it on purpose. Set your mind to think on these things. You tell me what fits all the definitions given there? Whatsoever things are, let me find the beginning of it. Whatsoever things are true. Well, first off, Father, thy word is truth. Jesus didn't say he walks in the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. What is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and a good report? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. That's what fits all of those things. You have to think on these things. Now, for example, last week we talked about the difference between facts and truth. All right, let's say you're facing some kind of, you're facing some kind of disease. I could pick financial attack. I could pick rebellious children. I could pick whatever, But let's just say you're facing a diagnosis you got from the doctor. Well, it's a fact. And like Ronald Reagan said, facts are stubborn things, okay? Now, the tendency, especially if you get a bad report from, a serious disease, okay? We have diagnosed you with Zama-Zama. Hey, I've been diagnosed with Zama-Zama. They gave me 6 months to live because I had melanoma cancer way back in my early 40s. I'm 78 now. They gave me 6 months to live. I tell everybody, that's been a long 6 months, I'm telling you. But it's because Jesus came to my rescue, see. But when you get a bad report, I'm telling you, the natural tendency is the mind will worry. I would catch myself after they told me that. Now here I am in my early 40s, I would catch myself, even though I'm a faith man, we were born again. I've already been through a lot of training. I know what faith is. I know that faith is based on the word of God, not what you feel and so forth. I knew all that, but I would catch my mind thinking automatically. I'm just going to say on autopilot because I didn't do it on purpose. I'd come to myself thinking about my funeral. Oh yeah. What music are we going to play at my funeral? And I'm just, I didn't do this on purpose. I would catch myself in the middle of this after they gave me that diagnosis, 6 months to live. I'm thinking, I really like that song, Daddy's Hands, Sometimes Daddy's hands were hard as steel. Sometimes they were really soft, but there was always love in Daddy's hands. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I'll want them to play that. And I'd, Gary, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's not lovely and just and a good report. That's the evil report. No, that's the facts. I had to start thinking about truth. Jesus, you are my healer. I had to do it on purpose. I had to set my mind on it. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. And he is the Lord that blesses me. He blesses my bread. He blesses my water. He takes sickness away from the midst of me. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. What am I doing now? I'm thinking on purpose on things that are true and, how does it word it? True and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report. I will live and not die and declare the works of God. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. Man, I had to start on purpose, think on these things. If I didn't pull out the next verse there, that in like Philippians 4:9, but basically Paul says, now you've seen this operate in me, the same things, you've seen how I do this. Now you do the same things that I'm doing, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But see, if words mean anything, if you don't purposely think on these things, whatever is pure, just, lovely, and so forth, if you don't, the God of peace won't be with you. You'll be on your own out there in worry land. You and the devil out there meditating together. Oh yeah, you're going to die and I'm going to kill you. What? Yeah, think about your funeral. We need to get your funeral. What? But see, that would come automatic. That would just, I didn't do that on purpose. I would catch myself over there and have to, no. And I'd force myself to think on these things. Well, that's why it's been a long 6 months, because thank God we win. Hallelujah. See, the point is this, becoming spiritually minded, that's the subtitle of today's lesson, does not happen automatically just because a person is born again. Do you know I could have kept drinking? All I had to do is rebel against that, what was coming from my spiritual mind to my gray matter brain. I didn't want to drink anymore, but I could have. All I had to do was just start. Rebel. I'm going to rebel. I like bourbon. Oh, thank God I haven't had. I tell you, the best things of my life. Thank you, God, for delivering me from alcohol. Oh, my life has been so much better without it. And you can have your wine, whatever you do your own walk with the Lord. Let me have my coffee and leave me alone. Oh, you do whatever you think. But for me, my life has been so much better without it, and I don't want it at all. All right, the point is, becoming spiritually minded does not happen automatically. I can't say that enough. Think on these things. Set your affection. All of that means you got to do something. Gary, learn the computer. Oh, I have to exercise my mind now? What? What? Well, that was a natural thing. But see, Jesus, He's teaching us how to function in the kingdom. I hope we get pretty, there's a lesson burning in me I want to teach so bad. Hopefully we get to it next week. I don't even know what the title is, but it's something like, you know, the kingdom works the way the king says it does and not how you think it does. That's too long a title, but man, he's been showing me some things on that. The kingdom works how the king says it does and not on how you think it does. Okay. Oh boy. Hope we get there pretty soon. See, without setting our mind, and I'm just going to quote, we're only got 10 minutes left. I got to cut to the chase here. The renewing of the mind is work. It, just like it was work for me to have to learn that computer, it was work for you to learn your ABCs. It was work for you to learn the alphabet and how to talk and grammar and English and all of the things, you know. Ritsu and I bought one of these newfangled upright washer and dryers. I mean, we always had the top loader, you know, the one we bought used because it had a scratch and a dent. This was back when they made appliances that would last, you know. I saw a meme one time of a refrigerator like from the 70s or the 60s, you know, one of those refrigerators, and underneath it says, I will outlive you and everybody that you love. And my mother's refrigerator in that old house is still going. God only knows. I don't even know how old that refrigerator is. Man, it just works perfect. Still going. Oh, I don't know how I got off on that. Anyway, renewing of the mind is work, though. It's something we're going to have, you have to do on purpose to start thinking kingdom-minded. Spiritually minded is okay, but really where we're headed is kingdom-minded, where all things are possible to him that what? Believes. And this believing involves a recoding of the gray matter, a recoding of the brain. See, now that brings us to Romans 12:2, which is where we've been teaching out of a lot. Let's read it again. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. There is no reason to write that if it's not possible for a Christian, a genuine Christian. This letter is written to Christians. It's possible to be a Christian and still pretty much be conformed to this world. I don't mean deep, dark sin like fornication and adultery and murder. I don't mean like that, but to just think naturally. How I know that? The vast majority of my relatives on my father's side of the family are not spirit-filled, but they are definitely Christians. I mean, you could mark the day that they gave their life to Jesus before and after, and such a marked change in them. Definitely, they went from death to life. Definitely, he cleaned them up. Boy, no longer in the bars, no longer this and that, no longer womanizers and, adultery and all that stuff. Definitely, the vast majority of my relatives on my father's side of the family are not spirit-filled, but they're definitely Christians. But they are absolutely, their thinking is pretty much conformed to this world, except when it comes to righteousness. They live a righteous life. But you tell them something like, you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and they look at you like, you fell off the watermelon truck or something. What's wrong with you? But even though it's in their Bible and they'll read it and... But still yet, when it comes right down to it, they don't really believe it. They don't believe in prophecy. They don't believe in other tongues. They don't believe in casting. They believe, I guess, that all that stuff is possible, but it just doesn't happen anymore. I don't know. I've been delivered from that kind. I've been out of that kind of thinking for so long, it's hard to remember how I used to even think. But be not conformed to this world. Well, there's no reason to write that if it's not possible for a genuine Christian to be pretty much conformed to the world, not in sin, but the way they think, what's possible and what's not possible. But be you transformed, and whoa, that's that word metamorpho in the Greek, metamorphosis. It's a real transformation. Again, I love how Alan Taylor said it recently again. It's not a caterpillar trying to fly. See, and that's what we've pretty much done. No. This involves a real transformation from one creature to another. Now, spiritually, you've already been transformed, but mentally, we're still crawling around when we should be flying. We got to transform this thing to line up now with the butterfly within. That's a phrase I never used before. The new man within, the butterfly, the one that can fly, the one that's not limited to staying on the ground, the one that can leave, the one that can think its affection is on things above. There you go. I want to fly right over there. See, there's a metamorphosis. Well, you don't think like that anymore. Whatever Jesus says is truth. Whatever Jesus says, I'm going to say it again. The kingdom works the way the king says it does and not how you think it does. Got to be a recoding of the brain on how we're thinking, because we're obviously not thinking right when it comes to the kingdom. Otherwise, all of my friends who are like are blind would be seeing. My friends who have Parkinson's would be free of that. Anyway, I could go on and on, right? I've prayed and other people have prayed. So far, we're not flying in that realm. Not first time, every time. Once in a while, by the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for that. But he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he says it again, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Well, I have asked in his name, and it didn't happen. So is Jesus a liar? No. Gary's not believing. That's the issue. I got to work on my believing. I got to recode this thing where my mind lines up with the mind of the king, where my faith, where I believe what he believes. When I believe what he believes, that's called faith. Nothing else really is. That was worth the price of admission if there was one. When I believe what the king believes, that's faith. And nothing else really is, to tell you the truth. Now, let me go over here to this page. When Paul says this here in Romans 12:2, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is a different Greek word. This is nous, N-O-U-S, Strong's 3563. It means the intellect itself, the actual knowledge that you have. This is akin to downloading it. So that verse there, Romans 12:2, that you be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That would be very much like you're going to download new software into an old computer. We've got an old gray matter brain here, an old computer, but we're going to download new software into it. This thing has got to be reprogrammed if it's going to function properly in these new things in the kingdom of God. Now, the intellect was taught, I'm talking about your gray matter intellect, was taught by the death nature. Now, think, in my case, I got saved at 33. So my intellect was taught by a death nature and the fallen world, you know, just the natural things of the fallen world for 33 years until the day I was born again. Now, from that point till now, there has been on purpose by me a recoding, a redownloading of the spiritual mind into this natural mind. And the natural mind still, I'm not saying it'll ever agree with me that a human can walk on water. I don't know that it'll ever agree with that. But it will agree with this, especially after it's seen it, you know, a lot of times, the end result. And we saw it in Peter, because Peter wasn't born again the day he walked on the water. He was functioning by faith with a natural brain, natural gray matter brain. He didn't have a spiritual mind yet. He wasn't born again yet. Couldn't be, because Jesus hadn't been, you know, raised from the dead yet. Well, the natural brain does not believe a human can walk on water, but a natural brain can believe that whatever the Messiah says can happen. That's why he worded it the way he did. He did not say, make me able to walk on the water. He said, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. Because his faith was this, whatever Jesus says will happen. He'd seen it in all those meetings, all those times. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open, cripples walking, maimed being made whole. While you watch, dear God, I'm looking forward to some of those meetings. But he'd seen it again. Jesus would speak and it would happen. Come out of her. Ah, and it came out. You know, woman, thou art loose from your infirmity. Whoop. The woman stands up straight. And on he had seen it. He knows if the Messiah, he already knew he was the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He knew that if Christ said it, he could do it. That's why he said it that way. His natural gray matter believed that. But if he says it, I can do it. Now get this. And as long as his focus was on Jesus and on his word, he was able to do the supernatural, even without being born again. Ooh, glory to God. Now that's the natural gray matter being recoded to believe something. We're already about out of time. Now listen. See, that is why I'm really convinced now. That is why Jesus said the work of God. They said, what must we do to work the works of God, plural? But he answered singular. He said, no, this is the singular, the work of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. Well, in Peter's case, God had sent the word into the world. That's Jesus. And Peter believed on him whom God has sent. If you speak it, I can do it. We're one step beyond there, because now we have to believe on him whom God hath sent. But where has he sent the word now? in you. In you. And we have to believe our the single work that we have to, even your gray matter, if we can ever get it convinced that the King is in you. Therefore, the kingdom is in you. And if that's the case, all things are possible. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye for now.